The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, four sisters, decades of secrets, one week they will never forget. So begins my next guest's 22nd book, which is entitled The Wedding Party. A remarkable achievement when you consider her debut novel, Woman to Woman, was published, oh, just a quarter of a century ago. Kathy Kelly.
Very old, Pat.
Good morning, Kathy Kelly, and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you? Lovely to see you.
I presume you're not kind of making a big deal of this landmark 25 years in fiction.
No, not at all. And in fact, when someone else said it to me, I went, what anniversary are we talking about here? I've always been dreadful on anniversaries. But yeah, I mean, it's somebody came up with it and I went, sure, that's great. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, funny. Maybe your 25th book.
Yeah, that might work
that
better.
That might be the milestone.
Because I think I started writing my first book when I was 27. So that's longer ago than that. Yeah, right. I can't, you know.
Now, do you count the millions of copies?
No,
that you've sold.
I don't look at it that way. And I'm never entirely sure when people say you've sold, we'll say 15 million. I'm going, really? Okay. Because literally, if I was in Tesco's and I found someone buying it, I'd have to I'd pass out on the floor. You know, it's weird seeing people actually buy your books. It's this amazing job. I love what I do. I get to write and create, and it is just bliss. And yet, you know, the proof on one level is whether people will actually go out and buy it. So it's a weird thing. It's this artistic thing, and yet people have to actually go and buy it for it to work and for you to get another deal.
I was interested, there was a piece in the Sunday Times showing your workspace.
Much cleaned up for the camera.
Yeah, I was wondering, as I was comparing it to my office at home, from which I frequently broadcast, and I thought, mine is a slum compared to yours.
Basically, I had to move all the filing from the floor and move all the dog beds. So anyone looking at it, and I also did Tracks and Trails recently, and, you know, this beautiful office that I've seen. So, you know, we've had a few beautiful office pictures, but the rest of the house looks like a bomb descended upon it. So, you know, look, I'm a former journalist. If I don't have 800 bits of papers, you know, teetering, I'm not working properly.
Now, tell me about the latest book, which I have in front of me here, which is called The Wedding Party. And the wedding is not the wedding that one might expect.
No, I like writing books where nothing is what you expect. So basically, it's this, in fact, it's sort of set vaguely around your neck of the woods, where I have never lived, but in this sort of glamorous sort of...
The Sorrento Hotel features...
Sorrento Hotel, yes. It's all very glamorous. And it's one of these slightly run-down places that somehow get a bit of fame and rock stars and people come in and... You know, this very glamorous couple are running it and they've got four kids growing up in it. So it all looks lovely, but it's, you know, chaotic and the dad gambles. So cut to, you know, 20 years later, the daughters are grown up. One's a politician. So I talk a little bit about the trouble female politicians go through, the absolute devastating traumas of online abuse and horrendous negativity. We've got a daughter who's a midwife, we've got a daughter who runs a business, and we've got a daughter who's writing a thinly disguised novel about her childhood. And the parents, who were separated because the father gambled, lost all the money, the father and the mother say, we're going to get married again. And this is all the week of a run-up to the wedding, and there's somebody's blackmailing one of the daughters, and it's not quite as simple as it looks.
It's not simple at all. I mean, there are so many intricate plot lines running through this. I mean, the political one is interesting. Every politician has a kind of a potential skeleton, political skeleton, never mind any other skeletons in their cupboard.
I have no idea how anybody goes into politics. I mean, the number of skeletons really people have, it astonishes me. And then when people get caught out, you know, journalists, we're always looking at people and you're going, how did they never think that was not going to come out? It's quite fascinating. But then again, if people with no lives didn't go into politics, we would have no politicians.
Yeah. These days, of course, I mean, with social media, with everyone has a camera because everyone has a phone.
Scary world. I mean, I look at it with my sons, and I think of when I was younger, and thank God nobody had phones to take pictures. But it's a different world for them now. You know, people are taking a picture of everything.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing that could have happened back in the day in journalism was that someone would take a picture of their bottom on the photocopier at the Christmas party and send it around.
Indeed, many is a Christmas party I organised. Yes, when I worked in this underworld, I was, and at the end of the night when drink would have been had, I was in charge of divvying up the money, which was always amusing.
You, in a recent interview, said female authors don't get asked the same questions as male authors do. And I was racking my brains. What am I going to ask Kathy Kelly that is the same as I'd ask a male author? I couldn't think that I'd do it any differently.
No.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that, particularly fiction at the moment, that, you know, crime fiction, killer fiction, all of that thriller fiction, a lot of it's written by women.
Oh, it's written by women and it's read by women. It's huge. I mean, I love those books. They're marvellous, you know, 50 Ways to you know, Kill Your Granny sort of thing. Completely fabulous. No, you would never be the sort of person who would do that. You wouldn't really differentiate. I think sometimes women in so many areas and women in the arts are asked questions like, you know, where did you get your dress and how old are you? And, you know, stuff that the guys are not going to be asked. And certainly in the world of what we will call commercial fiction, which is a bit like saying, you know, books are written by very stupid people. That's the would be the belief. You know, people get, you get asked daft questions by people who haven't necessarily read your work, and that can be difficult.
I can't imagine saying to a male author, "Where did you get that suit? I love your tie."
No, but nobody's going to ever say that. I mean, it was like the Theresa May thing. Remember her shoes? That was the only thing people would ever talk about with Theresa May. She had interesting shoes. I was going, "Dear Lord, that's it." You know, that's the.
Yeah. However, I think it was legitimate to talk about her dancing to "Dancing Queen" by ABBA.
Yes, indeed, but
that was quite a legitimate talking.
Totally
point.
Legitimate talking point. I agree with you. It's like Jeremy Paxman and Marks and Spencer's underpants. That will never leave me. Do you remember that? You see, now you're unable to talk.
Now, in terms of the inspiration for your book, where did this one come from? I mean, four women, the young women, and a couple of dodgy parents.
Not at all in the slightest based on my own life. And the plus about having written so many books is that people stop assuming it is totally based on your own life, which is...
Oh, yeah. Initially, they thought that you...
Initially. Well, I wrote my first three books while working in journalism, and people literally thought... And two of them were about journalism, which is what one does in the beginning. People literally thought they were... you know, from The Office. And I was going, "I do understand libel. Are you mad?"
And they're thinking of all the colleagues of yours they know. And
all the colleagues,
who is that? I know him.
No,
I know her.
People were convinced that they were in it, you know. So this is, if you're working on the novel, you're just going to have to say, this bears no resemblance to anybody, living or dead, more or less. So the inspiration for this came from how people remember their childhood differently. And, you know, this older couple who are getting married and how it affects their children. And I'm explaining this very badly.
The hierarchy within families, I mean, it's not necessarily all chronological. There can be a dominant person in among the four girls here, for example, and each sees, as you say, they remember their childhood differently in terms of where they fitted in the family and who was boss and who's not boss. And
it's a bit like when you go home, you know, this concept of when you, you know, no matter what you achieve, then you go home at Christmas and suddenly everyone pings back into where they might have been, which is an interesting concept. When I sit down to write, an idea will come into my head. I mean, this book, for example, I write about female politicians and I write about domestic abuse, and you know, an idea will come into my head and then I just run with that. The book takes over. I mean, it really is.
Authors often say, I create the characters and I have a broad outline and then my characters just behave as they would.
Totally.
You know, that you don't feel you're creating the activities of the character. It's just what they would do in this situation. You put them in a situation and then they come alive for you.
It's like you are, this is going to sound really weird. I don't think I've ever said this in an interview before, but it's like you're given it. You know, you're just sitting there and you're the conduit. It and the words are pinging out there, and it's glorious when that happens. A lot of the time you're sitting there going, "I'm a moron and these words are very bad words," and they're in the wrong order, as James Joyce said. The old James Joyce story, when he'd written, somebody said to him, "How did you do today, Jim?" And he said, "I wrote six words." And they went, "Well, that's fabulous," he said, "but I don't know what order to put them in." So, I am not comparing myself to Joyce, obviously. But when it comes, it's wonderful. And the wonderful Patricia Scanlon told me that years ago when I interviewed her, because I interviewed lots of people about writing a book and I wanted to know what was the secret. And of course, as we all know, the secret to anything you do is enormous amounts of hard work and doing it, really.
Just doing it, yeah.
Doing it.
I mean, there are writers with different techniques. Some will kind of wait for the inspiration, will suffer writer's block, will go through endless pain. Then there are others who say, I'm going to sit down 6 o'clock every morning. I'm going to work for 2 hours, then have my first coffee of the day, then maybe another hour, and that's it. And if I don't have 2,000 words, I'm a failure.
I know. I'm not one of those people. Yeah, I'm nobody's business at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I need way more coffee than that. But you know, but yeah. it's a wonderful job. I'm so lucky. I have a job where I was able to be with my kids, and that was so important to me. And very few women get to have a career where they can be with their family. Mm. And I've always been very involved with anything that to do with working with women, and which is also why I work for UNICEF. I have all my UNICEF papers here. Yeah. I was going to talk about UNICEF too. But yeah, to be given that chance, and I do work hard, but I've been so lucky with, you know, with my life.
Are the lads done and dusted yet?
Well, they have done the leaving now. They have done the leaving, and it's onwards and upwards. Yeah, they were 19 yesterday. Oh my God. Yeah, I know. Different world.
Time flies. Before we go, you better talk about UNICEF and what you're at the moment.
Well, basically, I mean, we're just, you know, looking at Ukraine and how devastating it is. But that has a knock-on effect, as we know, for the you know, food around the world, and the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia, Somalia, Kenya, suffering, you know, 4 droughts. A huge grain issue. Somalia gets 92% of its grain from Russia and the Ukraine. Similar issue in Yemen. So we have so many children who are at risk of severe acute malnutrition. These are children who literally their brain development is being affected by the lack of food. I think, you know, a child is dying every 10 minutes.
Well, let's hope that deal brokered to release the grain from Ukraine will hold, and that some relief can come to those children, particularly who need it so much. But Kathy, thank you very much for coming in. The new book is brand new. It's in kind of a blue colour. You cannot miss it with a gold title,
blue,
The Wedding Party.
And shiny, and it's got fun and humour and pathos and the odd joke. Even.
And it's called The Wedding Party. Kathy Kelly, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.